This is Janine Spurgeon. Today is July 23rd, 2020, and I'm doing an oral history with Jan Arnold. Jan is a senior Plainfield resident and would like to tell us about her experiences during the pandemic.
You said that you'd wanted to speak about being out of the country. Were you out when the pandemic started?
Yes. We were in New Zealand.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we went there on March. We flew there on March the 1st. Uh-huh. And it was known that there was this virus in China. I mean, it wasn't like we didn't know that that existed.
Right.
But at that time, it seemed like it was staying in China.
Right.
And we had every reason to think that it wasn't a consideration in New Zealand,
uh-huh,
or really the U.S. In fact, I remember the day before we left, one of my relatives said, "Well, are you going to be wearing a mask on the plane?" And I said, "Oh, no." You know, like, no, there's no reason to do that.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't.
Right.
And we were there for approximately, I think it was about March the 15th when they started getting concerned in New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
And that's when they closed their country to new visitors.
Okay.
But we were exempted because we had been there for 2 weeks. And so it was actually kind of a positive because it reduced the crowd pretty much right away.
Uh-huh.
And we started to hear from, like, they called it a homestay. It's like a very, very small bed and breakfast. And the person in charge was saying, "I just lost all my future reservations. You guys are the last ones." And then the next night, it was kind of the same thing. It was a small hotel, and they said, you know, "We have no idea what's going to happen to our future, you know, economically, because we're losing all of our business." And so, you know, we felt very concerned for them, but it was also, nothing was changing yet.
Right.
You know, there was no, you know, they still had, they didn't have any restrictions. They didn't have, you know, you could do everything that you had always done. And so it was very nice. And it was my husband and I and another couple that were traveling together. And we had, you know, we kicked it around a couple times. Well, should we leave early? Because we had received messages, you know, people had said, send us emails, you know, "Are you planning to end your trip early?" We're like, "No, we're not planning to leave our trip early." And we weren't really listening to any news or, you know, that we were traveling. We weren't watching things. We weren't reading the paper that much or anything like that. And so we weren't picking up on some of the developments. We did start getting more and more messages from our relatives and more higher levels of concern. One stepdaughter was, you know, really expressing a lot of fear and, you know, wanted us to hurry up and get home. I don't know if she was worried for us or her. But the other thing that was very weird was people started telling us about this no toilet paper situation.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I was looking at Facebook and somebody had posted this empty shelf, you know, no toilet paper and all this kind of stuff. And it was just sort of surreal to me. It was, I mean, surreal is just the only word I can think of. It just didn't seem possible. And the other thing is, I am a very skeptical media consumer,
mm-hmm,
and I really don't watch news on TV. I get it from a county newspaper from Johnson County. I know that sounds weird.
Okay.
And NPR on the radio.
Okay.
And that's about it. And I just, tend to, well, my the people that I'm around that consume the most of the media on regular networks seem to be, you know, very hyper, very, you know, everything is a crisis, and I just don't want to live my life that way.
Right.
And so that's kind of how I was interpreting this, that these were all people that were just over, you know, they lost their perspective because they were over-consuming the news that gets pushed to their smartphones and so forth, you know, that all that stuff. And, you know, you can set your phone so that it'll tell you all the bad news that has happened in the last 15 minutes or something, you know. And the 18th of March, we arrived in Nelson, New Zealand. That country is only about 600,000 citizens, and it's about the size of the state of California, and it's broken into two islands. It's an island nation, and it's broken into two separate islands with basically just a ferry in between the two islands. And you have to land from international flights in Auckland, which is in the North Island, and then we had immediately flown to the South Island, and we had stayed in the South Island for that whole time. But we were on our way to the North Island. This was, you know, this is our normal itinerary. So we arrived in Nelson, which was getting farther north, on the 18th. And then on the 19th, we had a normal day. Then the next morning, our friend got a call from his daughter saying that, I guess she'd been monitoring the Secretary of State's website or something, and there was a message there that said, any American that's traveling anywhere has to come home or risk not being allowed to come home for the foreseeable future. I mean, that was a rather dramatic statement, but then my husband looked it up, and yeah, it really said that. Basically just swallowed hard and said, okay, plans are changing. And we drove to the local airport in Nelson, and they just couldn't help us at all. I mean, they knew nothing. We ended up just using their waiting area to make our phone calls to, we had our flight was on United, which was locally served by Air New Zealand. And so we ended up just, you know, being on hold for probably a half hour and then rebooking. And we were able to rebook for March the 22nd. This was on March the 20th. So we had, you know, basically 3 days to get there. Mm-hmm. And we had a rental car. We had ferry tickets. We found out that we couldn't redo our ferry tickets. It was like we were thinking, well, we'll just rush to the ferry and then get that all done. You know, we'll get to the North Island really quick, but that wasn't going to happen. They could not rebook us on the ferry, so we just said, "Well, we'll just have to drive hard, and we'll make it." Mm-hmm. And started driving hard, and the flight was scheduled for 11 p.m. on the 22nd, and that whole day was. Our whole drive was just rain. Mm. And somewhere, and which we hadn't had at all. I mean, we had like one day of rain before that. And so it was kind of dreary, not to mention we didn't want to leave. We were worried. We didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, we saw the best rainbow that I have ever seen in all my life. And it was, I mean, it just was like, okay, wow. There is something good here. And, I mean, it really was the best rainbow I've ever seen.
Did you get a picture?
No. Oh. Well, no, I did get a picture, but it does not capture it at all. But anyway, we arrived at the airport at about 4:30, and it was like, I don't know, it just kept reminding me of scenes from movies where foreigners are trying to get home. I mean, U.S. people are trying to get home that were in foreign countries, and you know, when the when the world was falling apart,
right,
at that time,
like the fall of Saigon.
Well, yeah, that sort of thing. I mean, it was just, you know, tons of people and lots of noise, and they wouldn't let you in the parking lot without a ticket. And, you know, the person that was standing at the parking lot was wearing a mask, which we hadn't been seeing masks. And, you know, it was really just a whole different level of drama. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up thinking, well, we'll just return the vehicle and come back. You know, maybe it'll be settled down a little bit. Well, we did that, and that was fine. Returned our rental car, and then we did manage to work our way to the doors of the airport, but it was absolutely teeming with people, and everyone was very intense. And we got in line. We didn't get to check in till I think about 7:30. We were still standing. We couldn't eat. You know, we ended up taking turns going and buying food and trying to eat standing up, you know, with our luggage next to us. And my husband and I, my son had said, you know, you guys need to wear masks on the airplane. And there was just, there was no shopping to do. You know, we were intent on getting there. Second of all, we weren't sure that was really true or necessary. But then I started seeing so many people, you know, he had said that, and then I started seeing so many people in the airport with their masks on. So when it was my turn to go roving around the airport, I went into a little convenience store and said, you know, do you have any masks? And he goes, I have three masks.
You're lucky.
So I only bought three masks, and I had never worn one before, and it was, you know, I didn't even know which way to wear, you know, which way to wear it or anything. So it was real awkward, but, you know, it was like, well, at least we'll do something there. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, kind of an unpleasant experience. And I think the flight left late. It was extremely, you know, crowded, and we were in a three-person row, and we were going to land in L.A. Anyway, it was through the night, and, you know, the staff were wonderful, but you could tell they'd been trying to, they're very mindful about sanitizing and all, but you know, we did not have any hand sanitizer or wipes or anything like that. I mean, they weren't there; they didn't exist. So we got to LA, and the terminal was practically empty. And that is, if you've ever flown there, that is unheard of. I mean, there was like one place to eat open. And we ate there, and then we had to catch a flight. We were returning to the Phoenix airport. Uh-huh. We had been spending January and February in the Phoenix area, and that's where our friends live in the winter. And so we were flying back there. That's where our car was and so forth. So we finally got back to Phoenix, and then we started to see what, you know, the U.S. was like, and it was like night and day. When we left on March the 1st, normal life. When we came back on March the 22nd, we went to the grocery the next day, and it was, you know, there was zero toilet paper. There were minimal meat. Everything else was pretty normal, but, you know, and we just didn't know what this meant, you know, what was coming, what's around the corner. Mm-hmm. And so we just saw that. We went to the post office to pick up our mail that had been on hold, and we saw the big, you know, X's on the floor about how to social distance. We'd never seen that before. Uh-huh. You know, everything was just new and kind of strange, and then we went to the place that we'd been eating quite a bit while we were there, a little locally owned Italian restaurant, was closed to everything but carry out. We saw some people that had set up their own their own card table, and they had their own their wine bottle, and they were eating their carry out pizza right there in the strip mall. And so that was, we thought, okay, well, maybe people are going to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
They'll figure out how to live around these strange times. So we ended up just stayed a few days and started to wanted to head back home. And we drive there, drive back frequently. It's not uncommon. But everything was just so different. Places that we were accustomed, the Starbucks was closed, and we were like, oh, goodness. Well, we weren't planning on that. And then we did bring our own lunch food because we figured there would be difficulty getting that sort of thing. And, we ended up most of the time having to eat in our car in some dumpy parking lot. There was just sort of nowhere to go, or maybe we weren't right in the right mood to figure it out, but we just ate sandwiches and fruit and stuff just sitting in the car in some kind of a mall or by the side of the road. When we got to our hotel, they said, well, there won't be any breakfast. And we were like, what? It just hadn't registered with me that if restaurants were going to be closed, that their breakfast would be closed as well. So we were just dumbfounded. We ended up, going out and buying milk and cereal and eating in our room for breakfast. And we already figured we'd probably have to eat dinner. We use these grocery shelf microwave meals as an emergency food. We don't prefer to eat them.
Sure.
And we kind of had our minds made up that was what we were going to be eating for dinner for, the trip home, and that's what we did. We sat in the different hotel breakfast areas, and everybody let us do that. I kept waiting for somebody to say, no, you're not allowed. Go
right
to your room. But they didn't. So we, we ate those things and were like, bleh. And then finally, the real kicker was we're in Missouri, and they had no coffee.
Oh,
we were like,
goodness.
No. We had such a routine in our heads about we would always have two cups of coffee in the room, and then we'd go to breakfast and blah, blah, blah. Well, we were still in those other states. We were able to get coffee. But by the time we got to Missouri, they were taking it all more seriously, so no coffee.
My goodness.
So the other thing that was weird was, when we got to Kansas, it was maybe a Thursday or something, and they were getting ready to go to level 4 on Monday. So they knew it was coming, but it was still, everything was just business as usual. You could just go in a restaurant, sit down, nothing, no precautions, no nothing. And we just were like, no, we're not doing that. So we still, ate our microwave meals and stayed away from that. But the other weird thing that because I keep a trip journal, this is why I have such a detailed memory of this, is that we were in, I think it was a rest area in Kansas, and they were requiring you to, there was a dispenser of toilet paper. You had to choose your toilet paper before you actually went in the stall.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they didn't have enough, or thought they weren't going to have enough or something. we had left home at the end of December, and I typically keep a pretty good supply of toilet paper, but I don't, when I'm getting ready to go on a long trip, I don't stock up for things like that. It wasn't on my mind.
Right.
And so we were like, gosh, we're going to get home and we won't have any toilet paper. So we were on the big lookout for it, and we did, we bought like 6 rolls or something, and it was, so that part was good. And so we finally, one of the things that was interesting was the traffic was very light, and there were especially some stretches that my husband had, he's the main driver, and he really does not enjoy driving through the cities or the busier parts of the interstate. And he was like, man, if it could be like this every time, I would love it.
Yeah.
It's one of those very, double-edged sword kind of things. like, oh, nothing is normal, but on the other hand, at least we don't have a lot of bad traffic.
Right.
Anyway, we got home, and then we were, like, you know, people were trying to give us advice, and it was just the strangest one. Two different people told me that I had to sanitize my food.
Oh, yes.
When I brought it home from the grocery. And somebody sent me a YouTube video about that and everything. And it was just like, I just was trying to think my way through why that, how that would be, you know, how that could be and how that, why would that be a risk? And anyway,
yeah.
So I did it, I did it once. But then I came up with I decided to start using sanitizing spray on the counter after every trip to the grocery. So, you know, I kept changing my behavior. I was,
right.
The very first thing I did was I tried to modify my face touching. I was
yeah.
like, oh my gosh, I used to do that so much. And I went to, you know, when I started hearing about this virus, I was like, oh my goodness, I really have to change that behavior. And I don't know if I've, you know, I don't know how much I've improved, but
uh-huh.
I've certainly been a lot more mindful about it. So anyway, that's basically the story.
Oh, well, did you, when you got back into Hendricks County, did you notice anything, you know, how it was any different than,
It
you know?
Was a little, let's see, what was it? I wrote a thing in here about going to our neighborhood Walmart, which is on Main Street on the west end of Plainfield. I think I said it was pretty normal looking because it wasn't like we came to Hendricks County and the problem was gone,
right.
But it wasn't quite as drastic, I guess, because we were going to
yeah.
be at home. See, everything looked fine at the house. We ate our lunch in the parking lot of the Indiana Welcome Center, which would be, you know, over by Terre Haute.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Walmart and picked up some basic groceries. So I guess everything was normal there.
Right.
At that time, I don't remember, we didn't own any masks, so we weren't wearing any masks. We weren't able to get any hand sanitizer, I remember. And we did end up, for several weeks, we had Meijer shipped people, you know, doing our groceries for us, because
mm-hmm.
mostly because we're an older age group and we just didn't understand, didn't know what the risks were.
Mm-hmm.
And, I saw the shopper, the shipped shopper, using hand sanitizer, and I said, oh, where'd you get that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was so precious
uh-huh.
at that time. And she said, oh, my daughters were stockpiling it, so I stole it from them.
Uh-huh, okay.
So, you know, slowly but surely, a lot of those things have
right,
really resolved
yeah.
themselves. You know, obviously, things have opened back up, and,
uh-huh.
but we're all still keeping our fingers crossed and trying to do everything we can to keep as safe as we can. So,
well, as an older person, we've had a resurgence. Have you gotten worried again, or is it?
I go back and forth, like maybe within a day. I have taken some risks, and you know, so far so good, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep trying to minimize my risks.
Right.
And, you know, we've gone out to eat. We actually went to Bloomington, Illinois, and stayed in a hotel and ate in a restaurant. We're behind Indiana in terms of reopening,
mm-hmm.
But it was still, we just had to eat outside,
mm-hmm.
and that was fine, not a problem. It was great weather, so we've, you know, done things like that. We finally got together with all of our grandkids and, you know, in their different groupings. We have, you know, three families are involved. Depending on what their comfort level was, some of them we were more affectionate with, others tried to keep our distance. We have littler kids that don't quite get the social
uh-huh.
distancing thing. So, I mean, it's not just a little, it's just what their parents have taught them.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anybody who has gotten sick?
I do not. And for the longest time, I didn't even know anybody who knew anybody that had gotten sick.
Yeah.
And I counted, I know three people who knew somebody that died.
Oh,
Okay. So, and other than that, I really haven't heard much about people that have gotten sick at all. I have some relatives that work in the healthcare system, mm-hmm. and they've heard upsetting stories about that. Uh-huh. But it sort of ebbs and flows. Yeah. I hear kind of scary things from them, and then I hear things like, oh, we were so bored, there's nothing going on, nobody's sick right now, or one time I heard, yes, people are still coming in with it, but they're not as sick as they were at the beginning. And like I said, that's how I get my news. Right. And I'd rather hear it from the people that are nearby, rather than somebody from another state who has a whole different life, view than I do. So.
How do you think Hendricks County, Plainfield, how do you think we're doing mask-wise, mitigating, circumstances like social distancing? How do you think we're doing here in this area?
Pretty good. I felt like people are respectful and concerned. Every once in a while I've gone somewhere where nobody was, I can't name names of anything, but like we started going to Speedway gas station to get coffee in the morning because they just had such a nice little system of how they were, keeping you safe.
Uh-huh.
We've just been pretty selective about where we go. We used to go out for coffee, routinely, and then everything was shut, and so, but the gas station was always open, so we'll just get our coffee and then go sit in the car at Hummel Park, and
right.
Now that the restrooms are open,
okay,
we can do
that. Uh-huh.
But, I have felt pretty good about Hendricks County, about Plainfield, and so forth. I think the most difficult thing about Plainfield is the lack of news.
True.
There is no publication.
Right.
So we used to live in Johnson County, and they have a daily paper, the Daily Journal, and we got used to having that.
Right.
So we just kept it up. I always have to extrapolate, what they're talking about versus what's going on in Plainfield. And I suppose I could join the, the Facebook group, or I know there's something like
mm-hmm,
that,
yeah.
But it would, I figure it would be just people mouthing off.
So it kind of is.
I shouldn't say it that way.
It kind of is.
And, not information that could be trusted. So, I do go on the Town of Plainfield website and kind of look to see if there are any news releases or anything, but it just doesn't seem like there are. I read the icon religiously whenever it comes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's it right now.
Yeah, that's about as close as well. Okay, so I think I'll just ask you one question about the future. Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
These very unexpected things can happen. I have lived long enough that I already knew that, but it still surprised me how different this experience has been. And the other thing is that when I had read, I think, two books, at least one book on the 1918 flu epidemic, just a year ago. So when they first started shutting everything down and sending everyone home and stopping all the large gatherings, I was a fan. I was a big fan because I felt like they were learning from some of the foolishness from 1918. 1918, people were, having parades, sending people off to war, getting on, it just seemed like for not very good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this, and I was like, oh, yeah, this will do it. Well, it hasn't really. And
work for a minute, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really been harmful to people in terms of their economic well-being.
Yes.
And I'm very mindful of that. It's not, I don't work anymore, but I know people that do. And I actually, I only have one relative whose work was truly harmed. Her company was left Indiana, and she lost her job.
Oh.
But she did land a new one, thank goodness. But everybody else that I am close to is either retired or they work in something that is basically essential. You know, they have the option. I have some relatives that have been working from home for, you know, months and months and months and months, but they're getting a paycheck.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's that we can't shut down things enough to do away with the virus completely and still keep the economy going, and that the isolation is probably very harmful to people, and I don't think we know yet quite how that's going to turn out.
Right, yeah.
I feel like there's an awfully lot of fear and anger and people kind of turning inward, staying to themselves more. I don't know. I
guess it's just a real balancing act.
It must be.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I am getting accustomed to doing things that I never thought I would get accustomed to doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go about doing some of these modified behaviors and I'd think, well, yeah, I can do it, but yuck, it's awful. And now I'm finding myself feeling a little more normal about it. We're kind of taking a little more pleasure in everyday things than we previously did. We're noticing the birds in our backyard more, and been cooking more, and like I said, going to the park and drinking our coffee, and now people are there, and you can watch the young families and the cute kids, and it's pretty enjoyable.
Right. Well, do you have anything else you wanted to
I do have one more thing. I forgot to tell you this. When we found out, basically, as we were boarding the plane, that we learned that we were on the last plane out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And when we booked it, it was the only one we could get. And we weren't even sure if we'd be able to drive that far,
uh-huh.
you know, that quickly. And we just said, okay, we're going to make it work. And we did. But it was so mind-boggling to think that, you know, well, what would have happened?
I guess you would have been stuck in New Zealand.
Yes, we would have been stuck in New Zealand, but we love New Zealand. The people are wonderful, and the country is beautiful. But we just didn't know, and I still don't. We would have been allowed to do.
Right.
Would we be able to re-rent a car? Would we be able to rent a house? We've been staying in VRBO small places, and as outside people, I mean they were being very strict with their returning citizens.
Wow.
If a citizen was returning, they were required to self-isolate for 14 days. And so I just have no idea what they would have done with us.
Yeah.
It worked out, and now it's a story. And so
yes.
that's
a story that's going to go through history. Everyone's going to hear it now.
Yay!